The following is presented by Le Sommet Coors Light, celebrity guests, entertainment, and oh, a bit of sports. Every Wednesday night on RDS.
TheOldOrchard.com.
Good afternoon, Pierre.
How you doing, Simon?
Good, good. So you are in Philadelphia, right? And you got the Flyers and the Rangers tomorrow?
I'm actually on a train headed to Philadelphia, about to debark the train. But, I'm on my way to Philadelphia right now. Yes, sir.
It's, you know, you look back at the last couple of years in Philly, Pierre, unkind to them from a sporting perspective. But Eagles win the Super Bowl. Villanova is your NCAA men's champion. And I don't know, is it the Flyers or is it the Sixers? Who's next to hoist some type of trophy in Philadelphia?
Oh, no, let's not put the cart before the horse here. I think both those teams have a long way to go before they hoist any trophies. That being said, I do think the future is very bright for the Philadelphia Flyers. I mean, you look at where they are and where they came from, and you see the development plan of Ronnie Hextall and the job that he's done as a manager, and you look at the coaching job done by Dave Hextall and his staff, and you say these guys are set to have a real good future. And that's very positive for the franchise, especially when you consider that last year, really probably the brightest bulb in their franchise, Ed Schneider, passed away. So they've had, you know, to do a lot of soul searching as a group, and they've been able to do that.
I also like to draw the comparable in Philadelphia with Winnipeg, Pierre, where many were very critical of some of the coaching and the results, but both those general managers stay true to their, you know, here's the term out of Philadelphia, stay true to their process and didn't jump the gun and stayed with their coaches. And obviously it's playing out very well for them now.
It is. You know, I remember when everybody was crying out for Dave Hextall to be fired. And I was like, wait a second. Are people actually reporting the news or is it fake news? Because everybody's saying, well, they lost 10 in a row. No, they actually didn't. They got points in five of those 10 games. So it wasn't like they were losing huge traction in the standings. And that's one of the things that I think is really reprehensible, and I don't think that's too strong a word when you talk about some of the reporting that goes on around the league about different teams and different coaches and where they stand. And, you know, I remember being on with Mitch and saying, there's no way they're firing Dave Hextall. He's a big part of the solution. He's not part of the problem. He's a huge part of the solution.
Well, and along the same lines, Pierre, I mean, we talked about the Blackhawks, and you kind of you referenced all of the noise that was out there kind of trending in one direction, and the opposite happened. There's going to be stability, at least with Bowman and with Quenneville. So, I mean, is this going to get worse, do you think, this noise that intensifies to the point where everyone gets whipped up into a frenzy?
I don't know. You know, Rod, it's a great question. I just don't know the answer to that. I do know this, though, that I think, and I shared it with you guys yesterday, because of where contracts have gone for management people and coaches in particular, I think owners, more than anything else, are going to be a little hesitant to terminate employees as quickly as they used to when I was coaching in the league.
Pierre, how much do you think it has to do with how loud your fan base is? Because you look at the work David Poile has done in Nashville, and it's great, and he's got the best team in hockey, and he went to a cup final last year. But let's be honest, if that was his entire tenure in Nashville, if that was in Montreal, he doesn't get to year number wherever he's at. And you even look like a guy like Dean Lombardi, who went took an LA Kings team that, you know, was a side note in the sporting community in California, and they became a staple, and, you know, they went to Stanley Cups, but, you know, he's relieved of his duties.
I think a lot of it comes down to how stable and structured and proud your ownership group is, and I think it comes down to how much the ownership trusts the management. If the ownership, and I'll use an example, Glenn Sather in Edmonton, you know, it wasn't such a great run for Glenn at the end, but they kept him on because ownership trusted him. And you can say the same thing about the Dolans in New York when Glenn took over. How many years did they go? Six or seven or eight without playoff games? So I think it comes down to how much ownership really trusts where the group is under the management, the present management team that they have. And if they don't trust them, they'll let them go. But if they trust them, they'll keep them on.
Pierre, Penguins have a chance to clinch home ice in the first round of the playoffs. And just how difficult is it for that coaching staff? I know that it's a good group and a group, you know, with a guy like Evgeny Malkin and Sidney Crosby, two generational players. But how difficult is it to prepare a team for what they know is going to be an incredible grind, especially even if you look at their first-round matchup, it's going to be Columbus. But how difficult is it to start preparing a group for a third run at a cup?
it's not difficult at all because you've got people that understand what they have to go through, and so they prepare themselves. You know, the more experience you have in the league, the more you understand the grind. You understand what you have to do. You understand what people need to be on board and what people you can or don't need to have on board. So I think it's not as difficult as everybody thinks for the coach. The difficulty comes in series when you have to make adjustments and get your players to buy in, or in game when you have to make subtle line changes or matchup changes that maybe some people don't appreciate. But those are the difficult decisions. That to prepare your team to be ready, no, it's not hard at all because the guys know what they have to do.
Pierre, just want to get into some of the Habs talk, and had this discussion with Mitch Gallo off the top of the show with talking about Arturi Lehkonen. He got his 12th yesterday, second year in the league, came off an injury, and maybe his first injury as a young player. You don't know how to react after that, or maybe you come back and you're not 100%, or you're just trying to get your confidence back. He's got 30 goals in 137 games. If you look to this team next year, Pierre, this is how I break it down. Is Arturi Lehkonen more of a player that can play on your second line, being your third best player, or is he a guy that should be or could be your best player on your third line? What kind of a role do you see or do you envision for him?
Well, I see him as being a very good depth player. I don't see him being a top six forward. Maybe he'll prove me wrong, but I don't see that. I think he's a very, very good depth player and a guy that over the course of a long season can move up and play some minutes. But if that's, you know, going to be one of your top six forwards over the course of an 82-game schedule plus playoffs, I don't think your team will be very successful. I do think he's a very good player. I really do. It's a lot like when Lars Eller was in Montreal and people would get mad because they'd say, he's not a pure offensive player. He's a depth player that will provide offense from a depth position. He's gone to play in Washington and he's playing as a depth player, especially at center behind Kuznetsov and also Nick Backstrom. And he's thriving. He's thriving. And he's insulated unbelievably well down the middle. So that's, you got to find the right role for different players. And he's one of those, talking about Lehkonen, that you got to find the right role for him.
We all know how dismal a season it's been here for the team as a whole. But on the positive side of things, Pierre, is there a player for the Canadiens whose performance has changed your opinion of him in a positive way?
That is a great question. I've always been a Gallagher fan, but I didn't think he had this much offense in him. So I would say Brendan's one of those guys where I look at his offense, I'm saying, I didn't think that was ever going to be there. So he would be the one that I'd say really has impressed me a ton. I still think Sherbak now, obviously the concussion's a tough thing, but I'm excited about him. I knew how good Juulsen could be, and I think Juulsen's going to be very good. But I'd say probably Brendan and the offense that he's given them, that's the one thing that's really impressed me.
Pierre, after Saturday's game in Toronto, season's done. Monday, they're going to clean out the lockers. So everyone's going to speak, from the coach, the GM, presumably, all the players. Of all the storylines on Monday, because we're only going to get to talk to you after it's all said and done at around 5:05, what are you most looking forward to hearing answered?
How are you going to make the team better? I don't really care what the players say. I say that with respect. I don't think the coach needs to talk anymore. I think management has to say, here's our plan and here's how we're going to make the team better. And if you don't hear a positive plan or a solid plan, you've got to wonder going into next year where this team will be. You really do. So, you know, there's been a lot of spin control, which I understand. That's part of being in a National Hockey League situation. But if I don't, or anybody else doesn't hear, you know, the type of plan or ideology they have going forward, then I'd be very concerned about next year.
Pierre, I want to know the plan too. Absolutely. But what about, you talk about spin control, maybe this is a bit a part of it, but when he goes up there, Mark Bergevin, he says to the fans, he goes, we have a plan, but we don't want to lay it out because then, you know, the other 30 teams are going to know. Is that an acceptable answer to the fan base wanting to know what the plan moving forward is?
Well, you don't have to lay out your plan perfectly, but what you need to say is, here are the type of players we want to acquire. This is why we want to acquire those types of players. This is where we think we were flawed. This is where we made mistakes. This is where we overrated our team. This is where we underrated our team. That's the transparency you have to have. They have yet to have that. And I know they're probably upset at me in the business office right now listening to this, but that's the reality. I'm not the one that said that your defense was going to be better. They said that.
You didn't say it. I didn't say it. Mitch Melnick didn't say it. They've got to be very transparent with their season ticket holders, and they have to be transparent with their fans. They don't have to give names. They don't have to give the exact plan, but they should. Here's where we were wrong. Here's where we were right. Here are the kind of players we need. And going forward, we're going to try to address that. They don't have to give anything else. If they do that, that should satisfy everybody.
And when does the decision come down to how different the front office or the coaching staff will look next year? And why I'm asking, Pierre, is because this was a division winner last year. They went into the playoffs. They felt that they upgraded. They didn't. It's not because it's the Montreal Canadiens. I would say this if it was my LA Lakers or my Chicago Bears. When you go from a playoff team to a lottery, you know, a chance as a lottery team in pro sports, somebody has to pay for this, right? There's got to be somebody, you know, people can lose their jobs. And I say that in the nicest way, but it's pro sports and they've signed up for that. When do we hear about that? Or if we hear about that?
I don't know. I don't comment on coaches potentially being replaced. Or...
Pierre, yeah, sorry, you cut off there for a good 5-6 seconds.
I'm walking through the...
No, we lost Pierre. Sorry, Pierre, we lost you again there. If you just want to maybe move to the left or right something.
Do you have me?
Perfect.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm not going to comment on people being fired. I no shoes before. I don't know how hard a job it is. So I don't think it's appropriate for me to comment on that.
Okay, fair enough. Pierre, the one thing I want to note, watching yesterday's game was a struggle for Carl Alzner, and you look at it 1 year into this, is it just that he's lost a step? It happens to all pro athletes, or is it, you know, just not being playing behind Shea Weber, maybe playing too far up in the lineup, maybe playing too many minutes?
Well, first of all, I never thought he'd sign in Montreal, so I had to apologize for that. I got that wrong, but he did go to Montreal. I thought he would do a much better job when he did sign in Montreal. I don't know if it's because of the system he played in Washington. I don't know if it's because he had such a great relationship with John Carlson for most of that time on the ice in Washington. I don't know if it's because of the system they play in Montreal. I don't know if it's because he's lost a step or maybe he played hurt. I don't know any of those things. But I do know this. He's a better player than what he showed on the ice this year, and he's a tremendous teammate. So I would expect that he will have a bounce back year next year. And if he doesn't, then I will have gotten it wrong.
Would you expect or hope to see Jeff Molson at the podium along with Marc Bergevin on Monday?
I don't know. I don't know what relevance that would have. Unless he's making the hockey decisions, I don't know why he would have to be there. I think he's really, of the owners in the league, I'd say the fans should say, we're really grateful we have this gentleman because he addresses the fans in both languages, French and English. He's really proud to be the owner. He's paid significant dollars to try to make the team better. He's not afraid to address different situations that might be affecting the team. I don't know why he needs to be there. I really don't. And maybe he wants to be there, but I don't know why he would need to be there.
Pierre, you mentioned Alzner's running mate in Washington for many years, John Carlson. His contract's up at the end of the season. A very friendly cap hit right now with $4 million. He's 28 years old. He still has some good years left in him. One of the better defensemen in the NHL. What do you think's fair market value for him come this summer?
Well, he's got to be looking at over $6.5 to $7 million a year. I mean, maybe he'll get more than that. He's a kid that grew up in New Jersey. He was born in Boston. He's got a lot of ties to the East Coast. I don't know. But obviously, it's going to be expensive. Whoever signs him is going to cost him some money.
One of the things we have heard from the general manager here is he wants players with character. Now, kind of roll my eyes. I mean, who doesn't want players with character? What does that mean? Like, beyond the hockey speak cliche aspect, what does character mean?
Ask the analytics guys. They drew up the equations for it, didn't they?
Yeah, that's right. It's all ones and twos.
That's the art of scouting. Excuse me, by the way. The most important part of scouting is identifying work habits, coachability, and character. No analytic equation for any of that. So I would say, if you look at character, more than anything, players that sacrifice for the well-being of the team. If people that will take hits to make plays, people that will pass the puck in key situations when other guys may shoot, players that make really good decisions away from the rink. Character is a lot of things. Knowing the difference between pain and injury is character. Big part of playing in an NHL situation. There's no analytic equation for any of that stuff, but it's one of the most important things a scout can identify, and it requires a lot of expertise and a lot of time on the road.
Pierre, out last night watching the Habs game and went out to a little sports bar and watching a little bit of basketball as well. And social media and everybody's talking about the Frozen Four and how well Jake Evans for Notre Dame Canadiens draft and how well he's playing. And we watched the last 5 minutes of that hockey game, and he pulls it off. Another dramatic victory for the University of Notre Dame. They've had that the last couple of weeks, especially in the women's basketball side as well. He scores with 3.7 seconds left. The advance of the final. Jake Evans, you know, some are talking, Pierre, that he may be NHL ready as early as next year. Are you buying into that?
No, but he's a good player. He's a legit prospect. Jake's going to have to get just a tinge, not a lot, just a tinge quicker. But he's really a good decision maker with the puck. He's a really good decision maker with the puck. He definitely has character. He's very coachable. He's played in a very structured defense style system that a lot of pro coaches deploy. Jeff Jackson, his coach at Notre Dame, has a lot of credentials when it comes to coaching defensive aspects of the game. So there's a lot of things that he's done that have made him very close to being NHL ready. I still think he's going to need, and I've done a lot of Notre Dame games over the time that Jake's been there. I would say he needs some time in the American League, but not a ton. And I think that he's eventually going to be evolve into a very solid NHL player. I would not say a star caliber player, but a very solid NHL player.
Pierre, thank you so much, and enjoy the weekend. And Mitch will be back on Monday.
Oh, thanks a lot, Simon. I appreciate it. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thank you. Pierre McGuire, NBC Hockey Analyst. It's interesting, Flyers and Rangers tomorrow. Rangers pick up a win there. Then we kind of got a play-in game between the Flyers and the Panthers. Panthers got to win their game as well. And same thing on the West side. Colorado and St. Louis might be having themselves a play-in game on the weekend as well. So I like that. Maybe we'll see. You think we'll see that soon? 8-9 play-in game? Maybe, no? Gallo, a little baseball there? No? I wouldn't mind seeing it. Why not? One game, play-in game. Get the 9 seed in there. It's going to happen. It's a money grab. That's how it's going to play out. Simon Slegas, Mitch Gallo, Rod Francis this Melkany afternoon on TSN 690. Right after Gallo's 5:30 update, Jamie Rydell from TSN, who's at Augusta, Georgia, breaking down the Masters.
Pierre McGuire.